Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. During the 2016 elections, Congressman Adriano Espaillat made history. He became the first Dominican to serve in the U.S. Congress.
His win is a major victory for Dominican Americans.
I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
So help me God.
Espaillat is Afro-Dominican. And when he decided to join the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, well, they basically welcomed him with open arms. But then when he tried joining the Congressional Black Caucus, well, it was a little bit more complicated. Espaillat grew up in New York City between Washington Heights, which is a predominantly Dominican neighborhood, and the historically Black neighborhood of Harlem. Now, as a congressman, he represents both of these communities. And Congressman Espaillat joins me now all the way from Washington, D.C. Welcome to Latino USA, Congressman.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. Thank you for allowing me to speak in this program.
You are the first formerly undocumented immigrant to serve in the U.S. Congress. When you were growing up in New York City, once you got here, and people would ask you, ¿Y tú de dónde eres? ¿Y tú quién eres? What would you say?
I would say Dominicano, naturally, because that's my ethnicity. And that's what drove my existence here in early New York City for a long, long time. And so now we find ourselves with kids that were born in the U.S. and sort of like with the hyphenated name, Dominican Americans. It's really a debate about identity, right? And so this is important.
Did you identify as Afro-Latino or do you identify that way now?
Yes, the Afro-Latino piece was always there because you can be both. So I consider myself an Afro-Latino and I have for a long time, an Afro-Dominican first. And now as I grew into a broader universe of Latinos in the United States, an Afro-Latino.
I mean, what was that point where you said, hey, I think that my trajectory is to go into elected politics?
My father was a small businessman and he worked in Brooklyn. And on his way back, he owned a gas station. And so on his way back home, he was held up and robbed and they broke his arm was broken in three places. And when I went to the precinct and I got treated like a common criminal, when I went to report my father's robbery, I felt that, you know, that needed to be changed. And so, you know, I got involved in that and I said, this got to change. And I continued to move on that. And I think that led me to elected office.
You're representing deep African-American Harlem. You're representing parts of Spanish Harlem. You're representing parts of Washington Heights and Northern Manhattan, which is a very strong Dominican community. So what do you know about how your African-American constituents view you because of the fact that you basically are now in a seat that was, you know, kind of considered to be a Black seat?
As a young teenager, my grandmother used to force my brother and I to read the papers, the daily news, so we can learn English. And there we came across Adam Clayton Powell Jr. And then, of course, you have 46 years of Charlie Rangel. There's only been two congressional members in 75 years representing that district. Charlie Rangel's father was of Puerto Rican descent, and his mother was African-American, and Powell was white, Black, and I believe West Indian. And so they're of mixed ethnicity, but they were of the Black race, and ethnicity is not a race. So I think that this is a great opportunity to bring the message of Afro-Latinos and to understand that maybe some of our ancestors picked cottons and maybe some others cut sugarcane. And so there's no difference in that.
You recently said that you wanted to join the Congressional Black Caucus. First of all, kind of were you just like, well, here I am. I'm a Latino congressman. I guess I'll join the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. That makes sense. And you're like, and I consider myself a Latino of African descent, so I think it makes sense that I should join the Congressional Black Caucus. But it didn't necessarily play out that way. So what ended up happening?
We're still waiting for the Congressional Black Caucus to inform me as to what they intend to do with my request to become a member of that body.
Congressman, I guess I just have to ask you, are you a little bit hurt about the fact that this Congressional Black Caucus didn't say, hey, come on in?
No, I'm not hurt about it. I think that one has to, especially if you decide to go to Congress, has to expect adversity. And my political career has not been handed in a silver platter, nor has it been ushered in by the party bosses or the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party shut the door on me. I had to kick it down. And so this is the experience that I've always had, and I'm not expecting any different towards the future.
I mean, do you have a sense that, in fact, at least in terms of the Congressional Black Caucus, that this is a potential real learning moment?
The term Afro-Latino is relatively a new term that is not very common in people's language. And it will be a learning experience, I think, for everybody. I think that is a great opportunity to bring greater awareness of the entire African diaspora.
You know, there's a question about the African-American community and how they see Afro-Latinos as allies, potentially, or as, you know, new kids on the block. On the other hand, you know, for Latinos and Latinas, there's a big conversation about their owning their own anti-Blackness.
Well, you know, I think this is a great opportunity to bring somebody to the table that may have experiences in both worlds and that perhaps could bridge the gap, because there's anti-Latino feelings perhaps among some African-Americans and certainly anti-Black feeling among Latinos. And so someone that feels and is committed to being part of both perhaps could be a bridge. You know, I remember when I went to Albany as a state legislature, I was the first Latino of non-Puerto Rican descent. And I was instructed by my colleagues there that were there before I got there, that I should not join the Black Caucus. And I remember when I heard that, I said, these guys just told me exactly what I need to do. And I became a member of the caucus. And 5 years later, I became the chair of the Black Latino Asian Caucus, the first Latino in a span of 22 years that they had of fighting, infighting, and rifts.
Can you tell me a time when you experienced anti-Blackness from fellow Latinos or Latinas?
I remember when it was told to us that we should not wander into Amsterdam Avenue where lots of Black families lived. There were like segregated neighborhoods, you know? And so we were instructed, you know, by adults not to go there because we would get hurt, we would get jumped, whatever.
Because it is kind of strange to hear your family saying, well, be careful when you're going into Harlem because of all of the Black folks in Harlem. And you're looking at yourself and saying, well, wait, I'm a Black guy going into Harlem and you're telling me to be afraid of Black men?
Correct. But the concept of Afro-Latino is relatively new. And I think that's why many people are still wrestling with it. Oh, we still have a long way to go.
Congressman Adriano Espaillat, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That was Democratic New York Congressman Adriano Espaillat speaking to us from Washington, D.C. And we did reach out to the Congressional Black Caucus for comment on the Espaillat situation. And they said, quote, "The Congressional Black Caucus has been working hard to update its bylaws and will fully address these issues in the coming weeks," end quote.